Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mealer here. We're going to turn our attention for the next 45 minutes or so to growing potatoes. Pretty easy to do if you know the right steps. And we have somebody who knows the right steps for sure. You can grow some great potatoes if you take Amanda Gevin's advice. Amanda is the department chair of the Department of Plant Pathology at the UW-Madison. She's a professor. She's an extension specialist as well as the administrative director of the Wisconsin Seed Potato Certification Program. She is the Fritz Friday Chair for Vegetable Production Research. So as we talk with Amanda today, I hope you'll join in. What problems have you had with your potatoes? What questions are you looking for? A certain variety? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you could send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Amanda Gevin's, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Great to be here.
How'd you get interested in potatoes?
It's a great question. I grew up on the east end of Long Island, on the North Fork east end of Long Island, and that had been, both the North and South Forks were home to thousands of acres of potato production through the 1940s, 50s, 60s. During my growing up, we did see a reduction in acreage there, but I saw them all around me and had a wonderful opportunity to work with Cornell Cooperative Extension in our county and learn a bit about how potatoes are produced. And in my work, I was able to assist with some of that production and looking at disease monitoring and insect pests in the crop over my high school and college years. So that's how I got interested. And then through the lens of plant pathology or disease research, I was able to come back to that crop and as well as other vegetable crops and work in the capacity of research and extension to bring information we learn about disease management to the growers, and that includes gardeners.
You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about my own experience back in the day when I was a young man and in summers and even on weekends in college, I worked for Armstrong Produce, and we were the potato. I delivered potatoes all over Madison, and I would oftentimes on the weekends, they'd plop me in a semi and I'd drive to central Wisconsin. And I would pick up 150, 100-pound bags of potatoes from a farmer and bring them right back to Armstrong Produce in Madison.
Oh, very interesting. What a neat connection, Larry.
Yeah. But potatoes, I mean, they've been cultivated forever, practically. I mean, going back 8,000 BC, something like that.
Yeah, certainly potato is a longstanding food crop and one that, as it developed in Central America, as a staple food crop, it certainly gained adoption around the world. I think where pathology comes in, during the time of the Irish potato famine, there was that gave us strong recognition of the importance of diseases and the importance of clean seed in between the cropping cycles in order to maintain quality and levels of yield that were expected to feed families locally and for the marketplace to feed families beyond. So, yeah, certainly the importance of this crop globally has just continued to increase now as one of the top three staple food crops across the globe.
Yeah. Tom in Friendship has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Tom.
Hi. Good morning. Great show, Larry, as always.
Thank you.
My question is, I've been growing red potatoes in central Wisconsin. There's a lot of potato fields around here, but I just have a little garden, and I've been getting scabs lately on the potatoes, but I've been holding my potatoes every year like in a root cellar, And I'm thinking this year just to start all over with a different variety or just a like maybe Red Pontiac. How does that sound?
Yes, that's a great question. So common scab is the name of this disease. We're not very creative in pathology. So if you've got it, it's probably the one that many have. And so it is caused by a bacterial pathogen, actually, called Streptomyces scabies. And that is a pathogen that it will accumulate on the seed potatoes, right? So, of course, the potato tubers that you harvest in one season, some of those it sounds like you've been holding over and using as your seed in the next cycle. And in doing that, one of the downsides of that, a couple of things happen with that. But one of them is you do begin to accumulate pathogen, right? And so common scab as a pathogen is in the soil. It's among the microbes that give us that lovely soil smell when we first turn over the soil in the spring. That those are Streptomyces that do that and make that smell. But if you note that a portion of those Streptomyces can be pathogenic to potato. So what to do? Many red varieties have susceptibility to common scab, but it sounds like your idea of maybe thinking of a different cultivar choice would be a good one. But I do think going back to buying some stock seed potatoes from a garden center, where those potatoes that are sold as seed have a certification. And while the common scab pathogen is not one that we certify for in particular, it is a disease to be managed. And it's one that's managed very well by our seed potato producers here in Wisconsin and in other states. But I think that's the place to do it, is to limit that inoculum that you're putting back in the soil when you're planting. And so, yeah, get some new seed. If you want to choose a different red cultivar, I think that's a good thing to do. But other things you can do is make sure that you're watering evenly throughout the growing cycle. Once your tubers are beginning to form, that's typically a month and a half after you're planting, you'll start to form tubers. And it's from that point forward that you really want to make sure you're watering potatoes uniformly and don't let them get a real dry spell. If they have one of those dry spells, that's often the time at which we'll see more onset of common scab. And so keep that soil at a comfortable moisture level for potatoes. Don't let them get too dry. The other thing you can do is watch your pH. Scabs like it more basic. Check your soil. If it's higher than about 5.8, maybe think about an amendment to that soil to get your pH down a little bit lower, and that will help limit common scab.
All right. There you go, Tom. Thank you very much for calling. You mentioned certification. You know, you're tell us a bit about the Wisconsin and Wisconsin Seed Potato Certification Program. What's the benefit of that, and what does it do?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So our certification program is over 100 years old, and a partnership with our Seed Potato Improvement Association and our Department of Plant Pathology here in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences. And what we do, we work with the seed producers in primarily they're in northern Wisconsin, in most abundantly Langlade County. But we maintain potato tissue culture because plants don't grow right now from true seed. So down on campus or just west of campus in Middleton at the Wisconsin Crop Innovation Center, we maintain small, tiny tissue culture plantlets of hundreds of varieties of potato. And then when it's time, we take those tissue culture plantlets, we scale them up, and we grow small potato tubers in a greenhouse up in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, where we have a early generation seed farm called our Leela Starks Seed Farm. And from there, those little potatoes, some are grown hydroponically, some varieties are grown in soil. We take those, and that becomes then the first generation of potato tubers as seed that are then grown in a foundation seed farm in the open field outside. And then that becomes generation one. And then those are sold to the next seed grower, early generation seed grower, that will grow them out for field generation 2, 3, 4. Typically, we don't go much beyond field season 5. But each of those growth periods is a sort of a scaling up. When you think about a pyramid of tissue culture plantlets all the way to enough seed potatoes to generate in our state about 65,000 acres. But nonetheless, so that the process then is to observe those potato plants grown in field for our commercial seed potato growers. And we have field inspections, and then we have post-harvest testing. We have a subset of seed that actually travels all the way to Hawaii. And we have what we call the winter grow out that happens after Christmas and before New Year's. So the holiday, a bit of a holiday for those seed potatoes to get to go to Hawaii. And we have a look at them there. They grow more rapidly. We can have a look to make sure that those plants don't have virus or other diseases or varietal mixtures that could concern the lot of seed. And then those data are brought back, and we make then the certification for those potatoes. Growers find out the status, and then they sell their seed to commercial producers. So that's the step to ensure quality and purity.
I'm glad I asked that question, because it's really, really a wonderful, wonderful program. And we can talk some more about that, but I want to get into how the home grower can do a good job with their potatoes as well. And we'll get to that. Amanda Gevins, department chair in the plant pathology department at UW-Madison, professor and extension specialist. And we'll be back with her right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mealer here talking about growing potatoes on Garden Talk today with our guest Amanda Gevins, who is department chair of the Department of Plant Pathology at UW-Madison, professor and extension specialist, as well as administrative director of the Wisconsin Seed Potatoes Certification Program. As we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. I see we have a bunch of emails here already. And if you want a phone, you can do that too. Number's 800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You know, Amanda, over the news break, I was thinking about John Shaneman. John Shaneman, UW professor of horticulture, developed a production and management program for russet Burbank potatoes in Wisconsin, and that became the leading variety of potatoes grown in our state. I remember interviewing John once, and he used to go around to restaurants, and if they advertised Idaho baking potatoes, he would always order it, but then he'd find out that they were really Burbanks, and he would... He would tell them that they should be not promoting something that they weren't really serving, and that Wisconsin potatoes obviously were just as good.
Russet Burbanks are still grown for processing here in our state and in many states here in the United States.
What are the favorite? That's all in way of just asking you, what are the varieties here that are doing well and grown in the state?
Yeah, that's a good question. The still for our fresh market or direct market sales, we still we do see some Bakers, and there are russet types, typically not russet Burbank in the fresh market space, but varieties like russet Norcota or Gold Rush are common cultivars that we see for the fresh market. In that space, reds are still popular. But what's gaining are sales of yellows, right? And so sort of mid-sized or sort of creamer-sized yellows or mixes, right? Where you get smaller potatoes that might be yellow, purple, red in a blend. And those types of smaller potatoes are continuing to gain in popularity. And some of the reasoning there is that they're easier to prepare. They take less time to cook up when families are busy. And so we do see those varieties taking a bit more of a lead in the marketplace. But here in our state, we also have substantial commercial production for round white potatoes to make chips, right? So there are a lot of growers that contract with potato chippers. And so in my work in dealing with a commercial setting, we have many calls at times for questions in the chip variety space.
Yeah. Let's think about home growers. You know, I was...
Yeah.
Did you see the movie The Martian?
I did see it.
And that was a fun movie because Matt Damon, as I think is Mark Watney or something like that, was stuck on Mars, but he had some potatoes. And so that's how he lived, by growing potatoes on Mars, so to speak. And if you can grow them on Mars, I guess we can grow them here in Wisconsin, and we do grow a lot
of
them.
We can. Much more hospitable conditions, yes.
Much more hospitable. How easy is it to grow potatoes?
It's in our part of the country, it is easier. So potatoes do like cooler weather, and so we have some of that here. They like fertile soil. Slightly acidic soils between 5.8 and 6.5 pH. At time of planting, they like to see 45 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit in our soils. And we typically see this in mid to late April. Some home gardeners like to wait until May. In fact, some even wait until June before planting potatoes. And that can be a way of avoiding things like Colorado potato beetles that may come and chew on the foliage. But we also have... good and by and large, the natural soils of our state, we do see good drainage, which is important for potato production. And so if you do get seeds from a garden center and the varieties may vary, they may sell a red types. I heard, you know, Pontiac was brought forward earlier. You could see red Norlands here in this space. And there are about a dozen other cultivars that often will show up in the garden center places. There you also see some yellows, often Yukon Gold is one that might appear. There are a number of other newer yellow varieties that are in the market space as well. And then typically some russets or a round white type. So those cultivars may vary, but you'll see those out on shelves. But it's important to observe those well, right? And so through our seed certification process, we do our best to send out the best for commercial sales. But what you're buying, have a look at it. If anything is soft or squishy or wet looking, and then use your nose. If it smells off, it may mean that you do have a soft rotting bacterium that's starting to do some work in those seed potatoes. But look for potato tubers that are that are dry, that are not soft, they're firm. And if it looks like a good potato that you would eat, it's probably a good potato to plant, right?
Okay.
So be mindful of that. But good conditions for planting in our state, where we have more than 6 hours of daylight is what all you need, and temperatures above 45 at night and 55 and higher during the day for production. And we're in a good position here in Wisconsin for potato production.
Mary shot us an email to ask if it's normal for there to be extreme sizes of potatoes on one plant. She gets a couple huge, medium, and small. You know, she'll get a few big ones, she'll get medium ones, she'll get small ones on her plants. And if this is not normal, what should she be doing?
Yeah, it is normal. So some varieties are determinate and some are indeterminate. And so that means some potato plant will just continue to set new tubers. And so some will size up as new potatoes are setting on. And others will sort of make one set of potatoes and then they all get bigger over time as a group. And so in that case, you would see less differentiation between the sizes. But yes, that does happen as growing conditions can change. I know last summer, you know, we'd have one month that was the wettest, coolest, and then another month where it was hottest, driest. And those conditions are a bit rough on potatoes. And so I like to say that potato tubers have they have a great memory, like elephants, right? They seem to hang on to that weather and and we change. We see them responding, and sometimes they respond even later than the occurrence of that weather. But when it comes to tubers, yes, if as those plants are sending resources to the potato tubers to size up or to bulk, as we call it, that can vary with the prevailing environmental conditions that we're experiencing, and the health of the plant. And so maintaining good watering schedule and a nutritional or a feed schedule for those plants is important. Potato plants do use a lot of fertility in their production to make potatoes. And so, making sure you're providing them with an adequate amount of fertility and water is important for them to produce more consistently.
Jean from Milwaukee emailed. She saw something about using stacked milk crates for growing potatoes. You know anything about this method?
Yeah, not specifically about that. I've heard of stacked old tires and all other kinds of container systems, but I think you can grow potatoes in anything, right? So I think the system, as long as, again, you have good drainage and a good depth. So when you plant seed potatoes, whether it's a whole potato or you cut it into pieces, you'll want to make sure they're about 4 to 6 inches deep in the soil. And then once that plant starts to form, be sure that whatever that system is, there's enough room where you can make a hill or a mound of soil over the top of that plant. And that will help. Again, it helps produce tubers that then don't have exposure to the sunlight, which will turn them green. But also make sure you have enough space. So the tubers typically set on right underneath the plant itself and downward in that hill. And so if there's any limitation in soil space that's underneath that plant, they need at least a foot to 18 inches to set their tubers. They can kind of position them, and they tend to position tubers and the true roots right around the water supply. So it tends to be right underneath the base of that plant. But yeah, as long as it is a large enough volume to accommodate the tubers produced, and enough size so you can create that little hill above the planting, it sounds like the system could work.
Yeah. Had someone on the show who talked about it, used a chicken wire and made a fairly large tube and filled it with, forget what they filled it with, materials. But anyway, then planted the potatoes, and then in the fall, they just unhooked the chicken wire, and of course it all falls down, and there's your potatoes.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you one that I did. I had one year I had quite a bit of leftover from my straw and alfalfa from my straw bale garden, so I had a big pile of it. So I just piled it up. I got my seed potatoes. I opened up a little spot with my hands and around that mound, and I had a great crop of potatoes that year.
Oh, I bet.
So
yeah, they're resourceful. The potatoes will find what they need, and sometimes they'll grow even where and when you don't want them to grow, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. Paul in Boyceville emailed to say, you said that potatoes prefer a more basic soil pH. In that light, would one want to raise the pH in acidic soil, not lower it, as stated? Maybe you could clear that up. What's a good growing? I guess what's a good growing range?
Sure. I'm sorry if I misspoke. So the growing range is about 5.8 to 6.5 for ideal conditions. When trying to manage disease, there are times we try to make that soil a bit more acidic to try to reduce disease. And so, then going lower than 5.8, often growers will try to target like 5.5 or 5.2 sometimes in order to get out of the risk of common scab disease. But there, we do have some soils in the state where the pHs are much higher, and they might be closer to 8. And under those conditions, again, we try to bring that pH down to the range that's optimum for potato, which is 5.8 to about 6.5. But sometimes we do take that range lower than what is really optimum for potato to try to enhance management of a disease.
Helen in Duluth, Minnesota has a question, I believe, or maybe a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Helen.
Hi. I heard you talk about the, what I call the potato towers, and I actually tried those this past summer.
How'd it go?
It went fairly well. I think I would tweak it if I do it again. As far as space, I don't have a space constraint, but for somebody with a small garden, they would be great. They're a little unwieldy to work with because, especially once the soil is wet, they're heavy. But that's mainly when you're starting out. They were very stable. I was concerned about wind because we get some wind shear sometimes up here, and they didn't move. I found that depending on the spot, if they were getting too much sun, the potatoes more to the north and east did better on those towers, and the ones that maybe had a little tree shade did better on the south and west sides, and it all kind of evened out, so I really like that.
Helen, thanks. Comment, Amanda.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I think with these systems, so much of it is about what works for you and your location. And like say the plants themselves, they can be quite resilient and grow as long as they have appropriate soil and space. And it sounds like if you've learned to maybe optimize where these can function best on your in your space, certainly the lighting and the way that your plant or the positioning of that plant to receive whether it's prevailing air movement and wind or lighting can be really critical. And in my field of pathology, we often look for ways of optimizing that sunshine on the plants, because shading, particularly in potato, can often lead to more foliar disease. And we do have a number of foliar pathogens that we see onset in potato plants in both home gardens as well as commercial fields. And so, in fact, when we're looking to scout a field for diseases, we often first visit a shady edge along a forested area or a tree line. So keeping your plants out in the open where they receive more full sun does help keep disease down in potato.
Thanks, Helen. I appreciate that call. Diana in Baraboo emailed. She grew up hearing that you're supposed to plant your potatoes on Good Friday. Obviously, that doesn't make much sense because Good Friday varies from the end of March to mid-April. Do you know anything about the reason for this old-time advice? She wonders.
Yeah, it's a great question. I am always fascinated by sort of what rules dictate planting times and dates across the regions I've worked in over the years. Generally, the recommendation is to wait until about your 2 to 4 weeks before your last average risk of frost, right? And so there's quite a range in there. The one thing I will say about potatoes is that they catch up, right? So with planting dates, commercially, we see farmers go out and plant as early as sometimes the first week in April. There's no snow and ice and it's sunshine. They'll go out and make hay, as they say. But they'll also plant all the way through until sometimes middle of May or late May. And that just gives, it's betting, hedge betting, right? Because there may be a better date than others. But a lot of what goes into that too is the varieties that you're choosing and your goal of planting those potatoes, right? So for a home gardener, I think it's best to actually wait a little bit and plant a little bit later. That does get you out of any risk of frost. And potato plants will grow back even if they are hit with a frost. They keep their energy up and they will sprout again, but it does set them back and it could set them back a couple of weeks. So it's best to just wait a little bit till the soil is more reliably and consistently warm and moist to plant. But that starting point, I think just is sometimes it's rule of thumb, But we really just need to make sure we're getting the plants out or the seed out when we have most consistent warm soil.
Liz in Madison emailed, they're having a hard time thinking of the potato as a vegetable in some ways. They're delicious, fried, baked, hashed, etc. But how do they compare nutrition-wise to other vegetables? Maybe a carrot or a broccoli or whatever.
Oh, it's a great question. Yeah, as a vegetable, it is quite nutritive. There's lots of potassium in a potato. In fact, I think depending on the size of the potato, it competes with the banana, which we all, I think, quite know and popularized as a high potassium piece of fruit. But it has vitamin C, calcium, and so it certainly is a nutritionally packed potato tuber and one that has real nutritional value as well as fiber.
Another question from John, wondering about the best way to store potatoes. And I think in his case, he puts them in a refrigerator when he buys a bag of them. Is that a good thing to do just for short term?
Yeah, for short term, it would be fine. They will last a long time in refrigeration. To maintain the sort of optimum quality and flavor, a dark, cool place like a basement or a cellar is or a closet can be even better. But of course, the warmer you go, closer to room temperature, that lifespan or shelf span will be reduced. But refrigeration, certainly, they will keep a long time in the fridge. The sugars change, so the way that potato might taste, if you are a connoisseur of potatoes, you might taste a difference. I know when I store potatoes in the refrigerator, you can notice that they'll be a little sweeter, sort of a cold. It's a cold induced sweetening that happens. Those are careful measures that our chippers and fryers do take note of, because that changes the color of the fries and the chips if the tubers are too cold. And so that's just a trait that you will notice in storing them at home. If they're colder, they might taste a little sweeter, but they'll store a long time in that refrigerator for you.
Grant emailed, he discovered a local potato he loves. It's called Prairie Red, grown by a local farmer, but was developed at UW-Madison. The grower advises he shouldn't wash them or any types of potatoes until he's ready to cook them. He says it'll keep better stored that way. Would you agree with that?
That is true. When once you introduce water to that potato tuber and wash it, if you keep it out on a kitchen countertop or in a pantry, it will have less of a lifespan, because that moisture can set on some soft rotting bacteria, for example, that'll break it down. So it is best to keep the soil associated with the tubers, keep them dark and cool. And that is the best storage. Once they're washed, if you're refrigerating them, then that kind of that cool temperature of the refrigerator at 4°C is enough. It will maintain it longer, but the quality will be maintained best if you keep the soil on the tuber.
And how do you know when it's time to harvest your potatoes that you've got growing outside?
Great question. It depends what you want. So if you want what is called a new potato, those are the smaller potatoes that if you harvest early, you'll find, if you scratch the skin surface with your thumbnail, it'll rub right off, right? And those are new potatoes. They're not to be stored. They don't store very long. They tend to have a slightly different flavor, a little bit more earthy or metallic, some people will say. And some people really like that. And so they'll dig their potatoes early to get those qualities. If you leave them in the soil longer to their maturity, then the skin will set and it's much firmer. It's harder to rub it off. And those are the tubers that then you can take and store a bit longer. But that changes the taste a little bit and the storability duration. So it just depends what you want from your potatoes. But if you want to store them over the winter, then certainly you want to leave them in the ground until the tops naturally senesce. Or you might push that senescence by cutting off the tops of the plants at some point in September or so. And then those tubers that skin will kind of finish off under the ground for about a week to two after those tops are dead. And then that will give you potatoes that will should store well through your fall and winter.
And on that happy note, Amanda, thank you so much for being with us today. It was a real treat. I hope we can do this again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Amanda Gevins, chair of the Department of Plant Pathology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, our guest today. Fun talking with her about potatoes. And coming up next, we're going to talk about soil. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio News.